You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
All right. So this is the last week of Word the Sequel. We're calling it Word the Sequel because we did a Word series 2 years ago, which was an overview of the entire Word of God. Today we are doing Word the Sequel because it is the New Testament. This is the last week of the series. I have tons of stuff to do. It's 10:48. We are going to fly. Okay, are you ready? Good. This is review. First of all, thank you. I always forget that part. If you do not have a full sheet handout, put your hand up in the air right now and they will get one to you. There's also some pens available, but we're going to go fast. So if you don't have one, just pay attention. Let's review. If you were not here any of the other weeks of this series, this is all available at mc3church.org/thepoint, or just click on Listen to the Point. That's important. MC3, the letter number 3, church.org, and you can catch up with this. But we are going to review, and we're going to go quickly. First of all, there are four bodies of water that we learned about in the New Testament. There are three C's that we have, and so I need you to help me tell me what they are. We've been reviewing them every week, so hopefully at this point you will have them. So first of all, up here in this area here, there's a little land, and this is the sea of, and there's a body of water that goes down to this other body, this other sea. This is the Dead Sea. All right. Oh, cook it a little slower than me. I know. Thank you. Okay. By the way, I took the skates off so I didn't kill you. Okay. So Dead Sea, Sea of Galilee, Dead Sea. Over here is a big body of water right here, and this is the Mediterranean, Sea of Galilee, Dead Sea, Med Sea. There's a river connecting the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. It is the River Jordan. Yes, Jordan River, the Jordan River. By the way, that map that you see up there is this map here on the floor. You guys are in the Mediterranean. You are in a nation area, and you guys are in sort of Eurasia, Europe, and stuff like that. So moving on from water, we have got places. There are five main nations, main countries, nations, whatever you want to call them, in this New Testament area. And they're I-G-A-G-I, right? Remember that? I-G-A-G-I. So starting over here, this land, this nation is Israel. Moving over here, you've got G is Galatia. I-G-A. This is what? Asia. And then this G is Greece because it's running down. And then Italy. So Italy, Greece, Asia, Galatia, Israel. Okay, now we've got some cities. We learned about some cities last week in the big map. We'll go to the Israel cities in a moment. But in terms of the big map, there were three cities that were important related to Paul. We'll review them in a moment. But I don't know what order they're in. But this one. Okay, down here. This city right here is called, you can't read it, but it's Caesarea. This is where Paul's trials were. We'll talk about that in a moment. Review that. So Caesarea, it's in the land of Israel. And then moving up here in Galatia, there's another city called Antioch. Antioch, A-N-T-I-C-H. That is where the church was based during the time of Paul's travels. And then over here, all the way over in Italy, you've got this capital city of Italy, which is Rome. Right, Rome. So good. These are important. So we reviewed them from last week. Now let's move on to what's next. Okay, zooming in. We're going to zoom into the nation of Israel, the land of Israel. There are four provinces. I can't count. The 80s didn't count, so it didn't matter back then. So four provinces. First of all, in the north, next to the Sea of Galilee, you have the province of Galilee. Next to the Sea of Galilee, you have the province of, okay, now we're going to go way south at the bottom by the Dead Sea is another place called, I see. You didn't have to learn anything back then either. Okay, Judea. Maybe I need to slow down. Okay, so Galilee in the north of Israel, south of Israel, you have Judea. Across the Jordan River, you have another place called, Galilee, Judea, Perea. And then across the river was an area called Samaria. And again, Jews lived in Galilee, Jews lived in Judea, Jew lived in Perea. The Samaritans were the ones that lived in Samaria, and they were not a pure blood Jewish race. So those are the provinces within Israel. Now we've got some cities, I think. Yes, okay. At the top, the cap city. At the top of the area of Israel was called what? Capernaum. This is where Jesus was the sort of his home base for his ministry time later in his ministry. And then down here, I think that's what's next. Okay, yeah. This is where Nazareth is another city here in Galilee. Nazareth is where Jesus grew up. So that's why he was known as Jesus of Nazareth. That's where he grew up. And then down here, I don't know which one's next. I think Jerusalem. Yeah, Jerusalem is the capital city of Israel. Everything is important there. That's where Jesus was crucified. That's where Jesus did a lot of his ministry. And then just south of that was where Jesus was born, and that was Bethlehem. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He actually fled to Egypt with his parents, came back, settled in Nazareth, then began his ministry in Jerusalem. And when he got older, around 30, then his ministry, he was rejected a little bit, ended up coming to Capernaum and making that home base where he served in his ministry time. Okay, does that make all sense? Good. Is that new for you? No, hopefully not. Okay, moving on. What's next? Okay, good. Good. We're a little bit catching up. Okay, the Bible. That's what we're talking about. The Bible is broken into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're focusing on the New Testament, and we discovered first week of this series that New Testament has three letters in New, seven letters in Testament. So three times seven. How about nine letters in Testament? So three times nine is 27. There's 27 books in the New Testament. All right. So the New Testament was divided into two major parts. The first major part, which was Matthew through Acts, we called that what? These were the books of history. Very good. The history section. And the second week of the series, we looked at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and how they're four different perspectives of the same story, the story of Jesus. Then last week, we looked at Acts, which is the story of the beginning of the church and how the church spread from one spot to the entire nation to where we are today. So those are the books of history. The second major part were the what? They were the letters. Very good. The letters. And that is the rest of the New Testament, Romans through Revelation. And we're going to look at the letters today. But the letters were broken up into three subdivisions. Okay, they were all letters. They were written by people. The first one was letters from whom? Paul to churches. Paul to churches. And we're going to go right into that, so I'm not even going to talk about it right now. Then Paul wrote four letters to people. So letters to people, and then the rest of them were letters to a bunch of different people, written by a bunch of different people, and they were, we call them, general letters. Very good. So today we're going to look at the letters section of the New Testament. We're still reviewing now. So let's go. Let's look at the good news. Good news is another word for gospel. Gospel is what we talk about, the life of Jesus. There were five parts of Jesus' life. The story of the gospels was Jesus' incarnation, his birth. God became flesh, was born in Bethlehem, and then again moved and grew up in Nazareth, and then around 30 years of age began his proclamation, began his ministry, where he was telling people that he is the Messiah. He is the one the Jewish people were waiting for, that the world, essentially, they didn't know it yet, but that the world was waiting for to rescue them. He was the one that was going to deliver them. And he shared his message, and at first he was sharing it, and people loved him. He was accepted. He was doing miracles, people changing water to wine, raising the dead, doing all sorts of crazy things, and people loved him. But then afterwards, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, two enemies that did not like each other, got together because they hated Jesus. And they came up with a way to crucify him, and they planned to get him killed. And so then his ministry years, he was rejected. He left Jerusalem where he was serving, came up to Capernaum, made that home base, and traveled around during his time of rejection. And he spoke then in parables because he wanted the people that got it to get it, and the people that didn't get it, didn't get it. So that was, again, this is all review stuff. Then eventually the Pharisees and the Sadducees got their way with the Romans, and Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. 3 days later, he rose again, showing that he conquered the grave, that he was stronger than sin, stronger than death, and that he was, in fact, the one that people, that God sent to redeem the world, to rescue the world. And so then, after the resurrection, Jesus gathers his disciples, which is another name for followers, the followers of Jesus, the people that were with him, and said, look, guys, you're a bunch of normal, average, everyday, unschooled, common fishermen, for the most part, and you are now going to take this message. You have a commission. You have been given a challenge. Your challenge is to take the message that I have shared with you and spread it to the world. And in the beginning of Acts, we pick up that message where Luke is recording the story. He writes in the Gospel of Luke. He also writes in Acts. At the beginning of Acts, you've got Luke sharing the story. And he says, Jesus says to them, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's the outline that we have of what we looked at the next week in the book of Acts. The beginning of the church. And so in the book of Acts, the message starts with, now, I need to say something here. Apparently, there are some cultural differences between where I grew up and Central Pennsylvania. Where I grew up, pee-pee apparently means something different than where than from around here. So I need to apologize. I was not referring to anything totally inappropriate. Not a male anatomy or anything like that last week when we were talking about the pee-pees. Some people were like, I can't believe you said that. So I was just referring to, like, pee-pee was like, oh, anyway. So, but we talked about three pee-pees, regardless. We talked about three pee-pees. The first pee-pee was Peter and Pentecost. That was the beginning, and that was in Jerusalem. Peter was spreading the message in Jerusalem. We had Pentecost, which was an amazing thing where God showed up and said, look, my spirit is now in people. And so Peter was sharing the message there. Then the message kind of spread out with Philip. And it went from just Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria. And so Philip was part of the ones carrying that message, along with Peter, carrying that message because of time of persecution. The church was being hated upon. It was scattering everybody out of Jerusalem. And so the message was spreading. And Philip was a part of that. Then the third part of the book of Acts, the history, was Paul. Paul then, who was a Pharisee who hated the Jews, hated the church, was persecuting and putting them in the prison. God changed him, and then he became the first main missionary, if you will call him that, to spread the message around the world. So it went from Jerusalem with Peter to Judea and Samaria with Philip to the ends of the earth with Paul. And Paul had four travels. He traveled four times. And we summarized them briefly last week. And here's what they are. His first trip, which was based in Antioch at that point, because the church was scattered, Jerusalem was not home base anymore. It had spread now to the Gentiles, which are the non-Jewish people. The whole world now was able to get the message, not just the Jews. It was based in Antioch here, and Paul went out three times. His first trip went to Galatia, which is this area here. So he went around planting churches in Galatia, went back to Antioch. Then Galatia, he went from Galatia in trip one to trip two, he went to Greece. So he went over to Greece for the most part and planted churches over in Greece here and set up churches, then went back to Antioch and made his way through there. And then his third trip, Galatia, Greece, Asia. So his third trip was to Asia. So he came over to the Asian area and planted churches here. And we're going to look at these churches in just the next few moments. And so he planted churches here, came back. Eventually, the leaders had enough. The people hated Paul. He was imprisoned. He was placed in trial, three different trials in Caesarea where his life was threatened. And so he said, look, I need to get out of here. As a Roman citizen, I appeal to Rome, which he was allowed to do. And so the authorities said, fine, you can go to Rome and you'll be tried there. And so then his last trip where he was taken in shackles, in chains, to Rome, where he was placed in house arrest. He was placed in prison. Some people say that he was released for a short time and then put back into prison. And then the story kind of ends in Acts with Paul in prison. Tradition says, again, he was released and then he was killed. He was killed. He never had a trial. He was executed while in prison. And so that is how the book of Acts ends. And so the rest of the book, or the rest of the New Testament, these letters, Paul's letters to churches, Paul's letters to people, Paul's and the general letters, were written during the time of these travels. So as you look at your handout there, which is long today because I'm going to fly through a lot of stuff, I've got to cover 27 minus 5, 22 books in 30 minutes. Aw, I'm going to get some coffee. I've got plenty of time for that. Okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to look at these letters that were written at different times. Now, I want you to know this. The letters, starting with Romans through Revelation, were not in chronological order. So you cannot read Romans and then assume that after Romans was 1 Corinthians was written. That is not true. We're going to talk about when they are written based on these four trips. Okay? So that's just to give you some chronology. If you look at your sheet there should be some spots that says, you know, when it was written. I believe it says when it was written. Does it say when written? Anybody? Yes? Say that? Yes? Okay. So that'll just kind of tell you when they were written. So during Paul's trip to Galatia, he wrote some letters. During Paul's trip to Greece, he wrote some letters. Make sense? Okay, and then when we go into the general letters, we're going to see just, again, to place them chronologically, I'm just giving you when they were written too. Not that they were written by Paul, but during what era. Okay, so we are going to go through all 22 letters, and I'm going to tell you about them, summarize them, and hopefully just give you a little clue about what's going on. What you need to understand about these letters, for the most part, okay? No, not for the most part. Definitely. All the letters were written by people inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So God spoke to these authors, and they wrote these ideas. They wrote these concepts to the different people that they wrote to. So this isn't just an accident. It wasn't like someone stole the mail and put it in the Bible. This was led and guided by the Holy Spirit of God. So the words in these letters, just as much as the rest of the Bible is from the Holy Spirit, were inspired by God. God breathed. And so the other thing, so you need to understand that first of all. The other thing you need to understand about the letters is that they were written by someone, to someone, for a purpose. Now, we don't know all of who wrote them. We don't know all of the recipients. But for the most part, we do know them. And again, we'll go through and you'll see that. But understand they were written for a purpose. And that's going to affect the way we read them. All of the Bible, Timothy says this, that all Scripture, all of the Bible is God-breathed. It is inspired. It is spoken by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And we will talk about that, actually, the very first week of our IMMC3 series in September. But I want you to understand that all of the Bible is applicable. It matters to us. But as you read it, you need to understand what is called the historical occasion. There's a very fancy church or study hermeneutics. There's another fancy word. Historical occasion is a hermeneutical word, so now you know. But the idea is you need to understand what's going on because that shapes it. Okay, and I want you to follow along with me. If I was dating you, okay, and we'll just ignore all the awkwardness of that in so many levels, the fact that I am currently married as well. But if I were dating you and we broke up, or at least I was writing the letter to break up with you, would that not have a different connotation than writing a letter to my wife on our 15th anniversary, which I didn't do? She still had a card and I didn't. And I'm like, what? I didn't know we were going to do the card thing. But anyway, but do you understand that the difference in the tone of the letter affects things, the reason I was writing it. And the letter that I'm writing to my wife to celebrate our 15th anniversary is probably different than the letter I'm going to write to Lowe's about the insulation they promised was supposed to be here 4 days ago. So it's probably going to have a different tone and a different feel. All of it will be loving. I mean, to the undisclosed home improvement warehouse within Lewistown. And it's not the local people. So, John, I think you're not here right now. Yeah, he's at work. But it's not the locals, it's the man. It's the international man. But anyway, you get the idea. The letters have a different tone depending on where you're writing them. I write nice letters to Scott, but they're a little bit different than my letters to Kendra. So I need you to understand that the reason... Hey, yeah, I got a thumbs up from John. We love you. so he's not at work, so maybe he quit. Yeah, way to stick it to the man. All right. Okay, so we're going to look at these letters. So you need to understand that they're written to someone for a reason, and I'm going to try to summarize that. And so when we read them today, again, you can't look at Scripture. You can't look at any of the Bible. Please don't. And say, well, that was written to someone else, so it doesn't matter to me. That's not the way it works. But we need to understand the concept, the context, the reason it was written, and just general principles. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible, too, that we can take principles away from them. You know, we are not worshiping on Saturday. We don't do that because the Sabbath is an Old Testament thing, but there's a lot to learn about the concept of Sabbath, the principle of rest, the principle of taking a break, of trust. There's so much built into that. So I want you to understand that things were written on purpose for a specific reason, and we need to understand that so that when we read it, we get it, so that it makes sense. Make sense? Just say yes. It makes me feel good. Yeah. Wow. I don't even feel good. Only one person said it. Okay, so you're going to have to write. I tried to fill in some of your blanks for you already, just so that you can follow along. But here's the letter. So first of all, the first section of letters was Paul's letters to churches. Paul's letter to churches. Yes, the category, sorry. Paul's letter to churches. So these are what we're looking at first. Paul's letter to churches. The first letter that we have in the Bible, and we're going in biblical order, in the order of the New Testament, is Romans. Now, and I'm going to skip that second blank every time because I'm coming back to that. So just so you know, I'm skipping the blank and coming back to it. So let's drop down to the third line there. And Romans was written to the church in Rome, okay, which we already know Rome. I'm not going to cover all these cities officially where they are, but we know that Rome is in Italy. So I need some kids to help me out. I need you to help just place some of these things on the map. So I'm going to need 7 of you. So one at a time. Right now, you're going to raise your hand and say, I want to help. All right, good. Caitlin. You are now the church in Rome, okay? So if you would hold that and come here and sit and just wait there. You're just marking the church in Rome, and if we're wondering where the church is, you're going to hold up your sign and say Rome. Okay, so where's your church? That'll work. All right, Rome. Okay, good. We'll come back to more people later. I'm coming back later. So this is a church in Rome. So Paul was writing to a church that he planted in Rome, which was in Italy, and it was written during his third trip. So this is right before he was put in prison. During his third trip, which was to the area of Asia, while he was traveling, he wrote this letter and sent it via messenger to the church in Rome, to the followers of Jesus that were in Rome. Does that make sense? You follow what I'm talking about, chronology, when it was written? It was written during that time by Paul to all the people that were a part of the church in Rome. So, in this letter, Paul talks about, and here's your blank that you can go back to, he talks about Romans is redemption explained. So Romans is redemption. You already have your R there. And there is something to be said for writing things down because it helps the connection between your brain and your eye and your head. So if you feel like writing things down, we have pens and handouts. Or you can just stare at me with blank stares and I'll feel just as confident about what I'm doing. Okay, so Romans is redemption explained. And what is going on in the book of Romans is Paul is writing to the church in Rome. Very good, thank you. And saying to them, look, there were some issues there and that he was trying to explain to them what their salvation was all about. In Rome, you're talking about basically the opposite end of people that grew up understanding about God. They were the Roman culture. They were they didn't grow up following God or anything like that. For the most part, they were a godless culture. There were a lot of idols, a lot of other things. And so Paul kind of had to talk them through, and that's what the book of Romans is, as he's explaining how redemption worked, how this idea of God and Jesus dying on the cross and what it meant for you and why and how you became a Christ follower and were saved through it and what it meant about your sin and all that. So that's what Romans was about. It was redemption explained so that the people in Rome could get it. Okay, next letter was 1 Corinthians. So now we're looking at a church in Corinth. And Corinth is in Greece. Oh, that's not Corinth. That's Galatia. So, all right, Tessa. You, make sure I get in the right spot. Yeah, all right, of course. Corinth was in Greece. So you can sit right there, and you're the church in Corinth. Can you hold that up every time I point to you? Corinth, okay. And Rome, how's Rome doing? Okay, okay, good. Rome is not fallen. That's good. Okay, so you're the church in Corinth. And Corinth was in Greece. And of course, we've already talked about that area. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, the church that he planted, during his third trip as well. So it was in the area of Greece. We've got Italy, we've got Greece now, and we learned all these things. And in this letter, he wrote to the church in Corinth, and he talked about, in Corinthians, correcting the church. So your second blank there is correcting the church. Because this church that he had planted a while ago, like, it was full of all these human beings. And all these human beings messed up. They didn't follow God the right way. Things started good, and then things kind of filtered out. And so he had to write back to them and say, look, guys, there's some things that you're doing that are not right. And I don't know anything about that, because I know our church, nobody ever does anything wrong. And everything is always perfectly led by the leaders and always perfectly done by everybody. But in Paul's church, I'm totally kidding. Paul's church, there were some issues. And so he said, look, guys, I planted this church. I love you. But there's some things you're doing wrong. And so the first letter to the church in Corinth, I think 1 Corinthians, was to correct the church. And so there were a bunch of different issues. And if you read through it, it totally makes sense. And he's writing a letter for that because it's like, here's one issue. And he even says at times, that other thing you were talking about. Like, what? What does that mean? And then he goes and explains it. Because there were some issues that needed to be corrected at church. And believe it or not, church people aren't always doing things the right way. We all mess up, and we need correction. And that's what Corinthians is. And so as a church today, dude, why don't we read Corinthians and say, hey, are there some things that we need to learn? Are there some things that we need to correct? Are there some things that we need to adjust? So that was to the church in Corinth. How's Corinth going? All right, how about Rome? Rome? Rome's good. Okay, good. All right, then we've got 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is called 2 Corinthians, not because there were two cities of Corinth, but because there were two letters written to the city in Corinth. So the 2 Corinthians is also in Corinth, so you got like a double stop there. Corinth. 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 Yes, there we go. Okay, good. This was also the church in Corinth in Greece. It was also written during his third trip. And in 2 Corinthians, he was writing about qualifications. I know it's not the same letter, it's the same sound. Qualifications of character. So the first letter was because there were some corrections, correcting the church. The second was qualifications of character. Because what had happened is that people had heard about Paul, and they saw what was happening in the church in Corinth, and they were going like, dude, this Paul, he's not right. He is not who he says he is. He's faking it. They were basically spreading lies and rumors about him and about the church and about Jesus. And so Paul wrote this letter to them and said, look, I want you to know that I am imperfect. Believe me, I am not a perfect person. But I am doing what I'm doing because God has sent me there, and the stuff that I am doing is because he has called us to do this. And so it's his defense qualifying his character, saying, look, people, don't believe the lies. I am doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing, and this is why. And so that's what 2 Corinthians was. Then Paul wrote a letter to the church in Galatia. I need Galatia. All right, I'll take another sister. That's fine. All right, I got all sisters. Okay, Galatia, we already know where Galatia is, right? So that's here. So you're Galatia. So you want to face them there. Galatia, so this is the area, and this is a bunch of churches, probably, to churches in Galatia. And he wrote this during his first trip, and you notice there's a little asterisk there. Oh, I went out of order on that one. I hate that I messed that stuff up. Anyway, pretend you don't see that second line. But there's an asterisk here. This is the very first letter that Paul wrote. This was during his first trip, which was to the area of Galatia. And so during his first trip, he wrote this letter to the churches that he was planting in Galatia. And again, it was his very first letter. This was all about grace proclaimed. So Romans was redemption explained. Galatians is grace proclaimed. Because see, the issue was that the church in Galatia, there were people that were coming in there that were Jewish believers that became the church, and they were trying to add these extra rules. They're trying to add some extra rules to what it looked like to follow Jesus. They said, if you're following Jesus, you better be wearing a suit to church on Sunday. Because that's what good Christians do. If you're following Jesus, you know, you better go to don't go to movies. Or there's these certain things you don't do. And basically, and they didn't say that in the Bible, but they were adding rules to the faith and to what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. And Paul wrote to them and said, no. It's about grace. God's grace is greater than that. It's bigger. It's about the fact that you don't have to follow the rules. You don't deserve anything. And Jesus gave it all to you. And it explains, and if you want to read Galatians and find out what I'm saying doesn't make any sense, that's cool, do it. Because he was basically saying, it's not about the rules, it's about following and loving Jesus. And when you follow and love Jesus, you will follow the rules, but it's not the other way around. Does that make sense? It's like we don't come to God cleaned up and perfect, we come to God ugly and messed up, and he cleans us up. And because he cleans us up, then we say, I love him and I want to follow him the right way. But the Galatian churches had mixed it up. They were saying, no, it's about following these rules. And this is the way you have to dress. This is the way you have to act. These are the things you have to do before you can come. How's Rome doing? Rome, good. Corinth, all right. Galatia, good. Okay, so that was the church in Galatia. Then he wrote to the church in Ephesus. Do I have this one in the right order? Okay, the church in Ephesus. And I need another volunteer. Enola, Ephesus. Yeah. Okay. Here, okay. I'm going to come over here. Ephesus was in Asia. It was in Asia, on the west shore of Asia. So you are now Ephesus. You're the church in Ephesus. How's Ephesus doing? Yeah, that's where you have to hold. You have to hold up your sign. You got to be proud. Be proud of Ephesus. Like, Romans were messed up. Corinth, man, they had all sorts of issues. Ephesus was, you know, pretty good. So you can be proud. All right, so Ephesus. And this was written, actually, Paul wrote to the Ephesians during his time in prison in Rome. So this is his fourth trip, if you will. It was during his time in Rome. So Ephesus was in Asia. So we've kind of seen where these things are coming together physically. Now, the issue in Ephesians is he was writing to the church there. And this is kind of not the best one ever. I've got a really awesome one coming up. But anyway, this was emphasis on existence. Ephesians was emphasis on existence. It was basically who they were in Jesus. He talks about in the letter to the Ephesians, says, this is who Jesus makes you. You once were this, but now you're this. You have a foundation because of who he is, not because of what you've done. And the letter to the church in Ephesus was about that, saying, this is who you are in Jesus. It's not about what other people say you are. It's not about how you feel about yourself. You have an identity because of who Jesus is, and that identity is in you if you're a follower of his. And so that's what the letter to the church in Ephesians was, an emphasis on existence. And again, that was written during his Roman imprisonment. Then, Paul wrote the next letter to Paul to churches. He wrote to the church in Philippi. Philippi. I need a Philippi. All right, I see that hand back there. Are there any males that want to be a church? It's all right. I guess he does call them his daughters. All right, so where's the church in Philippi? Oh, yeah, it's in Greece. Okay, the church in Philippi, it's also in Greece here, and you're like right around here. So northeast Greece-ish So you're the church in Philippi. And again, the letter to the Philippians was the church that Paul wrote. No, the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. Strike that, reverse it. So they were in Greece. So we've got two churches so far in Greece, one in Italy. How's Rome doing? Good. All right. Corinth, good. Ephesus, still as strong as ever. All right, and Galatia. Okay, good. So now we've got one, two, three, four of the continents, or four of the countries, nations are represented. Now, Philippians. So he wrote to the church in Philippi. This was when he was also in prison. Now, this is important. This is why it's good to know these things. Paul is in prison. It is not happy. It is not going well for Paul. Paul knows that it's not going to end well either. He's probably going to die, or he's going to have to turn his back on Jesus. Chances are he's not going to turn his back on Jesus. And so he's probably going to die for it. So he is in prison in Rome, and he is writing to the church in Philippi, and his theme is, okay, it's Philippians. Wait for this one. This is awesome. Feliz. Now it's bad. Feliz. Now it's bad. Feliz. Now it's bad. Okay. Feliz. Now it's bad. Okay. Anyway, Feliz means joy. Because I couldn't find anything that was a sound that matched Philippi. But Felice was joy. And he says, look, I know that things are hard, but we can have joy because of Jesus. And this is not a man living in his mansion that's, you know, in South Los Angeles, flaunting on whatever, A&E, talking about, yo, I'm a pastor and I'm rich and I got my fancy car and, oh, I know you guys, it's tough, but have joy. He's not. That's not who he is. He is in prison. Death is coming, and he's writing and says, look, we can have joy because of Jesus. And so that's what he was writing to the church in Philippi. Feliz, now it's bad. Feliz, now it's bad. You know, it's like, because it was bad, you can have, you're not going to forget that one. I tell you that. Feliz, now it's bad. Okay, then moving on. He wrote to the church in Colossae. I need a Colossian. All right, there we go. There's a male. All right, come on. Oh, and you're my last church, okay? Okay, so. You are the church. See, I have the map on the screen. So you're in the church. Okay, here. All right. It was in Asia. The church Colossae was in Asia. So there you go. And so that's where it was. This was written during Paul's also imprisonment. So all of these letters were written near the end of his life, the church in Colossae. So now we've got Rome, Corinth, Philippi, Ephesus, Colossae, and what are you? Galatia. Yeah. There you go. Galatia. All right. So in Colossians, Paul was writing to the church in Colossae, and he was writing, his theme there in Colossians was Christ is supreme. He was telling the church in Colossae that Christ is supreme, that he is the one who is greater than anything. And so that's what the concept of the letter, because they were having some issues, again, writing on purpose. They were having some issues about whether there were other things, other, you know, rules. There's all sorts of other things were kind of encroaching on them, pushing in. And they were kind of like, well, is Jesus as important or as big as he is, as we think he is, or is he supposed to be? And Paul says, yes, Christ is supreme. Christ is the best. So the letter to the Colossians was Christ is supreme. So then we've got one more letter, actually two more letters, but one more church, and that is the church in Thessalonica. And this one, you're going to have to squeeze in here, right? Right here between these ladies. Oh, yeah, you didn't have to. Move all the way over here. All right, the church in Thessalonica. And Thessalonica is also in Greece. So it's in Greece. And that was where he wrote 1 Thessalonians. Again, it was 1 Thessalonians because he wrote two letters. So the first letter he wrote to them, this was during his second trip. So Galatia, Greece, Asia. So this was during his trip to Greece. He wrote to the church in Thessalonica. And this, in 1 Thessalonians, he told the church to thrive in hope. Thrive in hoping. Thrive hoping. Oh, yeah, that's what I said. Thrive in hoping. The issue was the church was... There's a lot of persecution going on. Things were not going well for them. And they were kind of getting ready to give up. And Paul says, look, I need you guys to keep going. Because of Jesus, he is going to return. There are going to be some awesome things that are going to happen as Jesus comes back. Just keep doing what you're doing. Stand strong. Thrive in hoping. Because there is that even grammatically correct? It doesn't matter. Thrive in hoping because there is hope. you can keep going because Jesus is coming and Jesus is going to rescue you. Like, this stuff is going to work out. Keep it up. So that was the first message to the church in Thessalonica. Thessalonica, very good. All right, so the church in Thessalonica, now, they got the message. They're like, yeah, Jesus is coming back. That's exciting. So they just sat around and waited for it. That was a problem. So Paul had to write another letter to the church in Thessalonica. Also in the same place, Thessalonica in Greece, during his second trip. And the first one was thrive in hoping. The second letter was thrive in doing. Yes, Jesus is coming back. But that doesn't mean you sit on your butts and do nothing. There are some things you need to do to get ready for his return. You need to share this message. And so that was the second letter to Thessalonica, because they got the message of the first one, but we're sitting around doing nothing. So he says, thrive in doing. It's time for you to do some stuff here. So, how are our churches doing? We've got all the way over there, and you're going to tell me what continent, what nation, what landmass they're on. So Rome is in Italy, all right, and then Corinth, Thessalonica, and Philippi are all in Greece, and then Colossae and Ephesus are in, did you say Egypt? Asia, okay, Asia, Egypt's over there. In Asia, and then Galatia is in Galatia, very good. So these are the churches that were written, that Paul wrote these letters to churches, two of them to Thessalonica, two of them to Corinth. Apparently Greece has some issues, needs a couple extra letters to them. But these are some of the churches that Paul planted and wrote the letters to them. So you kind of see that on this map during his life. Make sense? Good. All right, you guys can all have a seat. You can take your papers, leave the stools, because we're going to need the stools in a moment. So just leave the stools where they are, and you can have a seat. So now we got Paul's letters to churches, and then Paul wrote letters to people. And so that's the second subcategory of the letters, was Paul to people. Paul wrote these letters to people. And I think, yeah, there we go. The first letter that he wrote, well, not necessarily in this order, but the letter that he wrote to the first person in biblical order was to a guy named Timothy. So this is important. Now, hopefully you get the idea of Paul to churches, Paul to people, general letters. Because the name of the letter doesn't necessarily mean that's who wrote it. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Timothy was not written by Timothy. Timothy was written by Paul. Make sense? Because it's a person. So Paul was writing this letter to Timothy. Very good. Good. Thank you. You're still awake. And Timothy, just for what it's worth, was in Ephesus. Which now, who was Ephesus? Ephesus was here, right? Timothy was in Ephesus in Asia. So that's where he lived. And so Paul was writing him, just for some perspective there. He was writing to Timothy in Asia. And Paul wrote this during his Roman imprisonment. So this is written when Paul was in Rome in prison. Did I say that right? Yeah. When Paul was in Rome in prison. And in this letter to Timothy, Timothy was a pastor. Timothy was a young pastor. They say that he might have been as young as his 30s. It was very intimidating for this young pastor to be leading a church in his 30s. But he did it anyway. And it was kind of rough. And the people were looking down on him. And we're going to talk about this passage in Timothy in a few more months, a few more weeks. But they were looking down on him. And like, Timothy doesn't have what it takes. And so Paul, in Timothy, 1 Timothy, wrote teaching leadership. He was teaching leadership to Timothy. He said, Timothy, look, you can do this. Here's what it looks like. Here's how it goes. You are not an idiot. He didn't say it that way. But basically just encouraging him. He said, look, Timothy, you have what it takes. Here's what it looks like to lead. And so his letter to Timothy, and Timothy and Paul were friends, and you can read through Acts and find out about some of that connection there. But he wrote to Timothy and said, look, you're at Ephesus, you can do this. I want to teach you how to lead, and that's what it looks like. Then Paul wrote another letter to Timothy, the second letter to Timothy. Now, this has an asterisk because, first of all, again, Timothy is still in Ephesus in Asia. And this was written during his Roman imprisonment. And the reason it has an asterisk is because this is the last letter, scholars say, that Paul wrote. This is the last letter of Paul's life. So this, after all the letters that he wrote, this is the one that he wrote last. He wrote it to Timothy. Again, it's not in that order, but he wrote that last to Timothy to tell him some things. And basically, the issue at this point is that there were a lot of other... squirrel. There were a lot of other things that were going on in the church, and it was getting rough for Timothy. And basically, he was saying, Timothy was getting ready to give up. He was like, how do we do this? I don't know if I can handle it anymore. And Paul wrote to Timothy, and the first one was teaching leadership. This was about testing leadership. He said, look, I want to help you get through this time. Because your leaders, it's tough. It's not always easy at the top. It's rarely ever easy at the top. And so you're going through a time of testing, and I just want to help you through that. You're going through a time of testing for your leadership. So that's what 2 Timothy was about. It was to Timothy from Paul about his testing and leadership. It's 11:27. All right, so moving on. Then the third letter to a person was to a guy named Titus. And Titus lived in Crete, which actually is not on our map, but Crete is the island right here, but it's connected to Greece. And so Titus was living in Greece. And Paul wrote to him in this area. And it was during his Roman imprisonment as well. So that's when Paul wrote it. And in Titus' situation, Titus was also leading a church or involved in the leadership. And there were a bunch of other guys that were popping up and wanting to lead, and they weren't doing a very good job. And so Paul set up a system for training leadership. And he has a kind of a category for here's what elders should look like. Here's what deacons should look like. Here's how it should work. Because the leaders, there are all sorts of crazy, not working, not fitting leaders there. And he said, Titus, this is how I want you to set it up. This is how I want to make things work. So that was Titus, Paul to people. Then the last letter that Paul wrote to people was to a guy named Philemon. Philemon, which is P-H, Philemon. Philemon lived in Colossae, so he was in Asia as well. And this was written during Paul's Roman imprisonment also. And it was an interesting letter. If you read this letter, it reads very much like a letter, which I guess they all do because they start out with Paul saying, hey, good to see you. Don't forget my coat, things like that. It's actually in the Bible. Find it and let me know which letter it's in. But to Philemon, he's basically writing about this guy named Onesimus. And Onesimus used to be Philemon's slave. And Onesimus ran away from Philemon, which, you know, slaves tend to do. And Philemon was a follower of Jesus. He was a Christian person, and Onesimus ran away, and he ends up runs into Paul. And Paul shares the message of Jesus with him, and Onesimus comes to become a Christ follower. He comes to Jesus, and so now he's a different person. And he realizes that he needs to kind of make things right. He ran away from his owner, which again, we're not getting into debating the issue of slavery, but the issue was that as a slave, it wasn't his right to run away. It was illegal. And so he was going back, and Paul gave this letter to Philemon and said, look, Onesimus is coming back, but he's a different man now. And I don't want you to treat him like a slave anymore. I want you to treat him like your brother, because he is a follower of Jesus just like you. And so Philemon is all about forgiveness. And that's what this letter is written. Philemon is about forgiveness. All right. So, then we've got some general letters. The last section are the general letters. And those are all the letters that Paul wrote. The rest of them are written by different people. I'm going to go a lot faster right now, and I think I can. So, the next letter you've got, these are all letters written by different people, two different people, not from Paul. And the first one is Hebrews. And Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians, and this is important to understand. This was written to Hebrews, to people that came to follow Jesus, but that grew up as Jewish people, as in the Jewish religion. And so a lot of their understanding of faith and of religion was based on the Jewish laws and rules. And so the writer of Hebrews, who we do not know who it is, we don't know who wrote Hebrews, wrote to these Jewish Christians to tell them that he is the Messiah. That Jesus, it was written during the time of Paul's imprisonment, but Paul didn't write it. And it was saying that he is the Messiah. He was writing, whoever wrote he or she, I suppose, but probably he, writing to whomever, to these Jewish people and said, look, you guys are, you're missing the point. Because you grew up Jewish, you're misunderstanding how this thing works. And I want you to understand that Jesus, the one that you were expecting, he is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the Christ. Messiah, anointed one, Christ, all mean the same thing. And so that's what this letter was written for. It was written to these Jewish people that had kind of messed up and weren't really sure how it worked. They said, no, you're following Jesus and he is the one you've been waiting for. So that was the first general letter. The second general letter was James. This was written by James. Now this one's titled by the guy that wrote it. This was written by James. It was written during, it was probably the earliest general letter, written during the time of Paul's first trip. And it was written to Jewish Christians as well. And this was, the title of this one was Just Do It. James was about just do it. Because the problem to the people that James was writing to was that they were all about their faith. And I've got faith and I trust and I believe. And James was like, well, if you believe, then do something about it. He says, faith without works is dead. If you don't do anything about all the things you say you believe, it doesn't matter. Saying you believe in God means nothing. Even demons believe in God. If you say you believe in God, if you're a Christ follower, then begin following. Then start doing something about it. And that's what James' message was just do it. Tied into an 80s theme there. So 1 Peter. 1 Peter was written by Peter. And it was written to churches in Asia. A bunch of the churches in the Asian area. And it was written during when Paul was in prison during that era. And it was written, the content of his letter was pain has a purpose. Peter was pain has a purpose, 1 Peter. Because the people, these churches were going through trials. Things were really hard. And he said, look, go through it because they're making you greater. They're making you stronger. What doesn't? Anyway, kill you, make you stronger. Anyway, but he's saying, look, it's refining you. It's making your faith stronger. So go through the tough times. Pain has a purpose. So you guys can endure. And then he wrote a second letter to the Gentile Christians. That was the Jewish followers of Jesus. Then he wrote a letter to Gentile Christians. These were the rest, the non-Jewish followers of Jesus. And he was telling them, same time, to protect from poison. Because what was going on is the church now, as it was growing, it wasn't just led by the main followers of Jesus, by the disciples, by the apostles, by Paul. It was being led by a bunch of different people. And in these churches, what we were calling as poison was cropping up. And they were saying, no. Jesus, following Jesus doesn't look like this. Oh, and it's okay to get involved in this bad habit. It's okay to be involved in prostitution. I mean, all these things were popping up, and there were false teachers teaching messages, saying that they were following Jesus, but they weren't true. And Peter was writing to these churches and saying, these people in the churches saying, look, you need to protect from this poison. There are false teachers coming up, and you need to watch out for them. You need to protect yourselves against them. So then, moving on, we've got John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, all written by John. And this is written after Paul. Paul is dead and gone off the scene. The John that wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John is also the John that wrote the Gospel of John. Same John. And this was written to churches in Asia. He wrote to a bunch of the churches in Asia. And these are just because of some things we see at the beginning. And John was all about this fancy word called fellowship. All of his letters, three of his letters, were about fellowship, which just means to come together, to join, to be in community, to be connected to other people. And his first message was about joining with God. He says, we need to walk in fellowship with God. We need to stay in the light as he is in the light, and then we will live differently if we are walking closely with God. So he says, you need to join. You need to have fellowship with God. Join with God, and then you will live differently. The second letter, same thing, by John to churches in Asia. After Paul's death. And this one was about joining with the church. He says, you need the true church. There's a bunch of these false teachers, this poison that's been popping up, and it was happening during this time. He says, look, stick together with your brothers and sisters. Stick together with the true followers of Jesus. You need to have fellowship with them. And those people that are not following, going by the way it's supposed to be, get them out. Get out of the way. The third letter, and this was actually written by John, but to a guy named Gaius. He says at the beginning, who was a friend of his, a disciple of his, perhaps. This was after Paul. And this letter was about fellowship. And he was writing to Gaius, thanking him for joining with his teachers. Join with your teachers. He says, look, Gaius, when people were coming in to teach the church, Gaius was there supporting them and encouraging them. But there's this dude named Diophantus that said, no, get these guys out of here. We don't want them. And Paul says, no. Gaius, you were doing the right thing. So when these people come in to teach the true message of the gospel, support them, encourage them, give them what they need, help them out. Thank you, Gaius, because you did that. Moving on to Jude. I'm getting tired. Jude was written by Jude. We don't really know who it was written to. Had some very forceful language. It was written while Paul was in prison, during that time of Paul's Roman imprisonment. And Jude wrote about judgment of poisonous preachers. He said, look, there again, this idea of these poisonous preachers, these false teachers, these people not teaching what is true, the true message of Jesus. He says, look, these guys are going to be judged, and you don't want to be a part of that. You want to make sure that you are doing what is right. So Jude is writing this message, this letter to somebody, we're not sure exactly who, and said, look, watch out for these poisonous preachers. Watch out for these people that are just teaching a message so that they can be strong. He says, fight. He says, contend for the faith. He says, stay strong against this. This isn't something to be weak about. And then we've got the last letter, Revelation. Revelation was written by John. So John wrote five books in the New Testament. The Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. So next to Paul, he is the most prolific author. And then after Paul, after John, you've got, I guess Peter and Luke are tied for 2nd or 3rd. Anyway, so yeah, I'm tired. So Revelation, it was written to seven churches in Asia. And actually the beginning of Revelation has a letter specifically to this church, to the church in here, to the church in Laodicea, the church, and he talks about the different churches in Asia. It was after Paul's death, and the whole theme of the book of Revelation, the letter of Revelation, was return of Jesus. He said, Jesus is coming back, and this is what it's going to look like, and this is how it's going to be. And so he spends his letter writing about the coming of Jesus and what all that's going to look like. So this chart here, I just flew through all that, and I know hopefully you wrote some things down, hopefully maybe you listened to it later, to be able to come back and say, yeah, I get it. So if you're reading the Bible on your own, which I encourage you to be doing, YouVersion has great plans, YouVersion is free Bible app. If you're reading through and you're like, okay, what, I mean, Timothy, what's this all about? Oh, right, Timothy was a pastor in a church, Paul was writing to him because he was discouraged because of his leadership. And so, you know, it kind of changes and it helps you understand the context of what's going on. But that is the entire New Testament. That is Word, the sequel. That is everything in a four-week overview. There's way more that we didn't talk about. There was way generalization about a lot of those things. But at least you have an idea now. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your Word to us. And that it is, in fact, that it is a Word, that it was written to people at a certain place at a certain time. But today it is relevant because of your Spirit, because of your inspiration to us today. And so I pray that as we've flown through stuff every week, gone too long, been hot and bored sometimes, that you would help us to kind of see the big picture here and not walk away with more knowledge, because knowledge is not going to get us closer to you. But walk away with an understanding of your Word so that as we read it, we can apply it. And that will make a difference in our lives so that we can live differently because of your Word that is powerful. Your Word that matters to us. And so I thank you for this series, God. And I pray that you would help us to just even little pieces to remember to walk away with so that we can grow closer to you. Because that is the point, to become more like Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.